السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله. This is the 39th part of the series of سيرة خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وسلم, the life of the last of the prophets, the خاتم of النبيين, the seal of the prophets, and that is none other than Muhammad ibn Abdullah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, alhamdulillah, we were talking about the journey of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the miraculous journey of Isra wal Mi'raj. And we talked about, so far, we got up to the point where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has gone from Makkah Mukarramah on Burak, the animal that was named, its name is Burak, traveled from Makkah Mukarramah to Jerusalem. And we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ stopped at a few pit stops, you could say. Anyway, remember, what are some of those stops that the Prophet ﷺ, he made four stops. And you remember from last week, which stops did he make? So one was a place of a lot of date palm trees, which is what? Come on, you guys, the ones who were here last week. Medina Munawwara, okay, Medina Munawwara. So the Prophet ﷺ stopped there, prayed two raka'ah, and Jibreel ﷺ informed him that this is the place of your hijrah. This is where you're going to be making the journey of hijrah to. And another place the Prophet ﷺ stopped was Valley of Sayna, where Musa ﷺ first spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the burning tree. Okay, so we talked about that. Also, another place was where Musa alayhi salam's, according to one major opinion, where Musa alayhi salam's father-in-law used to live. What was the name of his father-in-law? Shu'aib alayhi salam. Okay, Shu'aib alayhi salam, and the place is called Madian. Okay, so that was another stop the Prophet ﷺ made. And another stop the Prophet ﷺ made was called Baytul Lahm, Bethlehem. And what major event occurred there? Significant event occurred there. He prayed there, but what was he told that happened here in Baytul Lahm? A big feast of meat, or what happened? Isa alayhi salam was born. Okay? Isa alayhi salam was born. I think it's called the Church of Nativity or something. They still have the church there, actually. You can go when you go to Bethlehem, and that's basically where Prophet Isa alayhi salam was born. Okay? So going back, so we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ went. He got to Masjid Aqsa, Baytul Maqdis, and he led the Anbiya in prayer. So all the Anbiya were gathered there. They prayed behind the Prophet ﷺ. And then we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ was given a choice between between milk and honey and wine. And the Prophet ﷺ chose milk. And then Jibreel ﷺ congratulated him by saying, "Asabt," that you have chosen the fitrah. You have chosen the natural disposition of man, and that is milk. And he said, otherwise, if you had chosen the wine, then your ummah would have gone astray. Anyway, so then we talked about... one other thing I want to mention is the Prophet ﷺ, when he came on Burak to Masjid Aqsa, he tied Burak to a place where all the Anbiya would tie their camels or their rides, whatever conveyance they had. They would tie that conveyance to this. It was like an iron loop, or it was like a hole in the mountain somewhere. And Rasulullah tied Burak there. And one thing this to understand from this, a lesson we can take from this, is Burak is not some regular animal from this dunya. It's from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside of this dunya. It's something that the Prophet himself never saw before, didn't even know existed. And this is something like a heavenly animal that came down. And when the Prophet is tying that animal, it's teaching us a great lesson. Because we know that Burak would have never ran away. Okay? And no one would dare to steal Burak, and probably wouldn't be able to. If I sit on it, and then, you know, when it jumps stride away, and it's like miles away, that person probably landing on the ground somewhere. Who knows what would happen if someone tried to actually steal Buraq. So the Prophet ﷺ tying this Buraq teaches us a great lesson, and that is to use the asbab to tie our camel, the proverbial camel, and then to have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a great lesson, especially nowadays with our current situation with this COVID and whatnot. You know, take whatever means that we have in our hands, whatever asbab that we can do, you take it, and then you have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't go towards either of the extremes. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq, inshallah, to understand that. So now the second part of this miraculous journey starts, and that is called the Mi'raj. In Mi'raj, I said the... They said there's a church of nativity over there. So I think that's the site. Allah
later, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
The Quran says that she went outside the city, Maryam alayhi salam.
Yeah.
That's where she's.
So I haven't seen the map yet, but if you take a look at the map, you'll see it's not inside. Where Bayt al-Maqdis, that's where Maryam alayhi salam was staying. She was devoted to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mihrab of Maryam alayhi salam is actually in that Masjid Aqsa. But you have Bayt Lahm or Bethlehem, it's a separate area. That's where she went out and she gave birth to Isa alayhi salam. So Mi'raj is the second part of this miraculous journey. So we have the first part is called Isra. And that's translated as the night journey. And then you have the Mi'raj. And the root of Mi'raj is from Uruj, which means to ascend, to go up. So we learned in the ayah of Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 1, actually, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the reason behind this great journey the Prophet undertook was so that we can show him min ayatina, we can show him our signs, we can show him our miracles. So that's one of the main reasons of this. And now as we go on, we'll see the different things that the Prophet observed in this journey. So one thing before we continue, there's a difference of opinion. The ulama say, did the Prophet leave Buraq tied there and then go ascend up to the heavens, or did the Prophet actually ride on Buraq again and ascend with him to the heavens? Now, some of the ulama say that if we take it that he rode Buraq up to the heavens, then that will fix everything, because there's a lot of rawayat that are, we don't know which place it occurred, if it occurred in the first part or if it occurred during the Mi'raj itself. So because of that, the ulama, there's a difference of opinion when something occurred or not. And the Prophet ﷺ describing that, he didn't start from start to finish and say, okay, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. The Prophet ﷺ would mention different things at different times, and it wasn't in order. Okay, so that's why it's kind of difficult to put everything in order, but the ulama have done as best as they can to put it in some type of order. So now the Prophet ﷺ is going, and the first thing, he sees an old woman that calls out to him. And Jibreel alayhi salam says to the Prophet alayhi salam, Sir, meaning keep on going, continue on, ignore her. So the Prophet ignores her and they continue on. Then the Prophet alayhi salam sees an old man, and this old man calls to the Prophet alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam tells Rasulullah alayhi salam to Sir, go ahead and ignore him and keep on continuing on. And the Prophet alayhi salam again goes, and there's a group of people who are calling out, and they're saying, As-salamu alayka ya awwal, as-salamu alayka ya akhir. They're calling out to the Prophet ﷺ, saying salam to the Prophet ﷺ. Now Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, after the Prophet ﷺ says wa alaykum salam to those group of people, Jibreel alayhi salam explains, he says, amma al-ajuz. So as for the old woman that you met or first, or you saw first, التي رأيت, that the one you saw على جانب الطريق, that you saw on the way up, either on the way up to Mi'raj, or it could have been, like I was saying, during the journey from Makkah to Jerusalem. But the Prophet ﷺ saw this, and Jibreel ﷺ explaining, said that this is the dunya. This old woman represents the dunya, and the Prophet Jibreel ﷺ says, فَلَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا بِقَدْرِ مَا بَقِيَ مِنْ عُمْرِ تِلْكَ الْعَجُوزِ. That whatever is left of that old woman's age, so she's really old, and whatever is left of, she's basically on the brink of death, whatever left of her life, that represents the what is left of this dunya. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he was the first major, first minor sign of the Day of Judgment. So the first minor sign of the Prophet ﷺ is the coming of the Prophet and the death of the Prophet ﷺ. That's the first minor sign of the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet ﷺ said that I and the Day of Judgment are like this, like two fingers basically together. And that was 1400 years ago. So you can imagine how close we are to the last day. Now, Jibreel alayhi salam says that that was the old woman, that was the dunya, representing the dunya. And وَأَمَّا الَّذِي أَرَادَ أَن تَمِيلَ إِلَيْهِ فَذَاكَ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ إِبْلِيسِ. So that old man that you were being called towards, that was the enemy of Allah, that was Iblis, that was a shaitan. And this shaitan, he was trying to get you to go to lean towards him, basically. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سَلَّمُوا عَلَيْكَ فَذَاكَ إِبْرَهِيمُ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ. So those people who were saying salam to you, those were the prophets Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ. Okay, so now, the Prophet ﷺ, in another riwayah, it comes that the Prophet ﷺ, this is related by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, that the Prophet ﷺ saw a group, different groups of people being punished. And the first group of people he saw were people with copper nails. So they had nails made of copper, and these people were scratching their faces and their chests, basically ripping off the skin and blood and, you know, all the guts or whatever, but they're scratching their faces, scratching their chests. And Jibreel alayhi salam was asked by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam that who are these people? And Jibreel alayhi salam responds by saying, these are those people who would backbite each other in the world. So those who would do namima, those people who would do ghiba, those people who would backbite each other, they are getting punished in this way. Another group, the Prophet alayhi salam, when he goes on further, he sees a person swimming in a river. A river of blood, it comes in one narration, a river of blood. He's swimming, and as each time he tries to get to the shore and get out of the water, there's people on the shore, on either side of the shores, and they're throwing rocks at him, hitting his body, and they're going into his mouth also. He's swallowing the rocks. And every time he goes through that, he gets thrown, so he keeps swimming from one side to another, trying to find a way out. The Prophet ﷺ asked Jibreel alayhi salam, who is this man? What does this represent? And Jibreel alayhi salam said that this man is a consumer of interest, of riba. Now the Prophet ﷺ goes on and he sees a man that is laying down on the ground and another man standing upon above him with a huge boulder on in his hands, and he slams the guy's head, his face, with that boulder. So he basically crushes that man's face, the one who's lying on the ground, he crushes his face with that boulder, and then the boulder goes and starts rolling away. Now that man, in the time that it takes for that man to go and retrieve that boulder, he goes to go grab that boulder and bring it back. By the time he comes back, the man who's laying down, his face, his head, his face becomes normal again. And the man takes that boulder and smashes him again. And he keeps on repeating the cycle over and over and over again. The Prophet ﷺ was asked that who are these people or who is this person? Jibreel ﷺ says that these are the people who did not pray their salah. They're the ones who would miss their fard prayer. Allah protect us all. Number four, another group of people that the Prophet ﷺ passed by, people whose private parts were wrapped in rags. Okay, wrapped in rags, their private parts are wrapped in rags, and they're grazing like animals. So like animals go around, they eat grass and they graze. These people are grazing like animals. And the Jibreel alayhi salam was asked, who are these people? And he answers by saying, these are the people who did not pay their zakah. They did not pay their zakah. Now another group of people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes by, and these people have two large cauldrons, okay? One full of like really good meat. You could say karai or whatever you want to think of, good meat sitting there in front of them, and another cauldron of meat, but this is rotten and, you know, like very disgusting, you know, decomposing flesh and meat in another. And, you know, Yusuf, we just remember what happened the other day. We were in Jamaat and, you know, in the kitchen, we opened the oven, and this disgusting smell came. I mean, it was just nasty. It was actually probably a few months. I don't know how long it's been sitting there. I think it was mac and cheese, a full tray of mac and cheese, and it was left in the oven. So when we opened it, it was flies all over it. It was rotten and it had fungus all over the whole thing. So we actually took it out, and alhamdulillah, we cleaned it. Hanif uncle, he cleaned the oven. So that was really disgusting. But so just imagine you have two cauldrons, and instead of eating the good food, the good clean food, you go after that tray of mac and cheese that has been sitting there for so long, and you're just, you know, chomping it down. You're eating it like you're enjoying it, or you're being forced to enjoy it. So these people are eating from this meat, and Jibreel alayhi salam was asked that, who are these people? And Jibreel alayhi salam responds by saying that these are the people who had, in spite of having halal and good mannered and good spouses, they were married and they had good spouses, but leaving those good spouses, they would go and they would commit zina. They would go and spend their nights with evil women, for example, or the women who would go to evil men and spend their nights with them. So this is the people who would do zina. Another thing the Prophet ﷺ saw was a pole that was stationed in the middle of the road, of the tariq, and whatever would go near this pole would get ripped apart. It would be ripped apart. And Jibreel ﷺ was asked, what does this pole represent? The Jibreel ﷺ responded to the Prophet ﷺ that these are the people who would lie in wait in the turuq, meaning that whenever there's like a caravan going, you know, highway robbers. So whenever someone, they would stand there and wait, and they'll see like someone coming by, and like, you know what, let's take advantage of this guy, let's steal this, whatever this guy has, or whatever they would rob these people. Now another person that the Prophet ﷺ passed by was a man who had collected a huge pile of sticks. And this person had this huge pile of sticks, and even though it was a huge pile and he's not going to be able to carry that pile of sticks, he's still going in search for other sticks and bringing those sticks and adding it to the pile. Now, Jibreel alayhi salam was asked, who is this person? And Jibreel alayhi salam responds by saying, this is a person who has numerous rights and responsibilities upon that person, and he's unable to take care of these responsibilities already, but instead he keeps on going and making himself more busy by doing other things that he can't even take care of. So this is something like, we see this in our time, that we have so many rights and responsibilities that we're doing, but we're always trying to, you know, we hear of like this new, what's it called, Bitcoin, for example, or stocks, or we hear about that business transaction, or this transaction, or that thing and that thing, and we try to get ourselves, our hand in everything. And the only thing we're doing is making ourselves even more busy. Another group of people the Prophet ﷺ passed by were a people whose tongues and their lips and their tongues were being cut by scissors. So they're basically, if someone is cutting their lips and cutting their tongues, and as they fall out, and then after that the lips and the tongues would regrow, and then they'd be cut again. And they keep on, the cycle would continue over and over again. Jibreel ﷺ was asked, who are these people? And this is something very grave for all of us. Jibreel said, these are the scholars and preachers who would preach to others but wouldn't practice themselves. They would be two-faced. Meaning they would call people towards good and righteousness and tell people, why aren't you doing this, why don't you do this? But they themselves would not do that. So one thing to note here, that doesn't mean that if someone is not doing a good action, that he's not allowed to go and preach to others and tell them to do that good action. That's not what it means. What it means is a person who's two-faced. The one who acts good and tells people, yeah, let's do this, 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 this. And then that person does not even try to fix themselves. Does not even try to do that good action. Does not even try to stay away from that haram action. But tells other people to do that. Okay, so that's the difference there. Whatever a person, one of the things of da'wah is that when we remind others The more you remind others about something, the more you are yourself are listening to that reminder. And even if you are indulged in that sin or not doing that good deed, then inshallah, after practicing the da'wah over and over again, inshallah, Allah will give you tawfiq to do that action, inshallah. Another thing, the Prophet ﷺ passed by an area where beautiful fragrances and cool breezes were coming. He asked Jibreel ﷺ, "What is this?" And Jibreel ﷺ responds by saying, "This is the fragrance of Jannah." And then another place, there's disgusting and hideous odors are coming. And Jibreel ﷺ responds by saying, "This is the fragrance," this is the stench of Jahannam. This is the stench of Jahannam. Now going on, one of the things that we learned from this Isra wal Mi'raj, the Prophet ﷺ made the journey from Bayt al-Maqdis, from Jerusalem basically, all the way to the Sidrat al-Muntaha, above the seven heavens and the earth. He goes on the way, all the way, and he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the things, this is something, October 14th, 2019. I'm not sure if there's any other discoveries after that. I wasn't aware, but I know I remember this one because I was teaching my students and we were talking about this discovery. This is actually the Hubble Space Telescope has discovered the furthest individual star ever seen. The furthest star that was ever seen. This was discovered about a year and a half ago. An enormous blue stellar body nicknamed Icarus, I'm not sure how to say that, located over halfway across the universe, according to what they say, halfway across the universe. The star, it's so far away that its light has taken 9 billion years, okay? 9 billion years to reach Earth. So just imagine how far that is, okay? And the reason why I brought this up is that whatever we, like this, they're saying halfway across the galaxy, halfway around the universe, this is just sama'u dunya. This is just the heaven of this, the lowly heaven. After that, you have the first heaven. Then you have the second heaven. Then you have the third heaven, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, like that. So it keeps on going on. And there's a riwayah that the Prophet ﷺ tells us that the first sky, the first heaven, the first sky, first lowly heaven compared to the first heaven is like a small ring in the desert. So if you can just imagine the biggest desert in the world and just imagine a smaller ring that's just thrown in the middle of the desert, that small ring compared to the entire desert, that's just this sama'u dunya compared to the first heaven. Then the first heaven compared to the second heaven is like a small halaqa, is like a small ring compared to a huge desert. Then the second heaven to it. So it keeps on increasing. So the more, the higher you go, the more the expands, how huge that must be. Allahu Akbar, you know, that's something we can't even fathom. We can't even understand how big that is. And one of the things that we talked about, last week actually, I talked about is that there was other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't even know of. And one of them, I remember I mentioned, the animal when Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if the heavens and the earth refused to obey, and all the people in the heavens and the earth, if they refused to obey you, what would you have done? And what was the response Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave? Anybody remember? The what?
The whole world.
So what would swallow?
The
monster or the beast, okay, this daba would have swallowed everything, all these seven heavens, the earth, everything in one bite. This monster, this beast would have swallowed everything in one bite. Now, Musa alayhi salam asked that, وَأَيْنَ تِلْكَ الدَّابَ, where is this animal staying that it's so big that it could swallow this, all these things in one bite? And Allah SWT says, فِي مَرْجٍ مِّن مُرُوجِ, that in one of my grazing pastures. And then the Prophet Musa alayhi salam says, وَأَيْنَ ذَلِكَ الْمَرْجِ, and where is that pasture? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي عِلْمٍ مِّنْ عُلُومِ, and this is in one of my knowledge. Meaning that we can't even fathom how huge this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and how the secrets of the creation, and how, you know, how big these things are out there that we never saw before. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going up this ladder. Now, Mi'raj is from the wazan of mif'al, which is the which alam sorry alam sorry it's ala ala means like a tool, okay. So this is a name of a tool. It's a wazan of a tool. So miftah, for example, misbah, okay. Anything on that wazan of mif'al, mi'raj, this is a tool that is used to do that action. So mi'raj is something that was used to ascend. Okay, misbah is something that is used to, like, so like a lantern, for example, is used to light up. So it's called misbah. Miftah, a key, is something that's used to open a door. Okay, so mi'raj is something that was used to go up. Now the Prophet ﷺ was brought this ladder or whatever it was. And remember, it's not like a ladder that we can think of, but it's something else. And it was brought studded with jewelry, beautiful, and that was used to go up to ascend to the heavens. And when they got to the first heaven, Jibreel ﷺ knocks on the door, on the gates of the first heaven, and the angel that is guarding the first heaven asked Jibreel ﷺ, he says, "Man hada? Who is this? Who's there?" Basically, and Jibreel ﷺ says, "This is Jibreel. I'm Jibreel." And then the angel asks, "That hal ma'aka ahad? Is there anybody with you?" Because, okay, Jibreel ﷺ, you're the angel, you're the leader of the angels. You can come, yes, you can come, and we're going to open the door for you. But is there anybody with you? And Jibreel ﷺ says, "Na'am ma'i Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." That Rasulullah ﷺ was with me. This angel asks then, after he doesn't say, okay, so Rasulullah, okay, open the door. He says, "Ursila ilay," has he been summoned? Like, why did you bring him, basically? Why has he been summoned? And Jibreel says, yes. So he goes, okay. Then he opens the door. And then they go up to the first heaven. How long has it been? Oh, 26 minutes already. Okay, so they go up to the first heaven. And they enter into the first heaven. So I think I'll stop there, inshallah. And then what we'll do is next week, I was going to talk about the different prophets that the Prophet ﷺ met and in the different heavens, and what happened, the conversations that occurred between them. So we can continue with that next week, because we're close to the time. I promise to keep it under 30 minutes, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.